Hi, I'm Rui Bango, developer evangelist for Microsoft.
And I'm Chris Harmon, developer evangelist for Mozilla.
Right, you had a little bit of a delay there, Chris. What happened? Were you thinking about web tools or something?
I looked at your slides and I thought they were beautiful.
God, I'm sorry, you have poor taste, Chris. I hate to say it. My slides are as beautiful as yours. It's got orange in it. I try to be colorful a little, So, apart from when I'm building slides, one of the things I do think about quite a bit is the number of browsers that we have to kind of work with. And we are in a good time. We have modern browsers. They have excellent features. And the cool thing is that the tools are really evolving, and they're evolving across the board. And so, you look at the five major browsers like IE and Chrome, Firefox, Opera, and Safari, and they're all really evolving very well. And if you remember back in the old days, we didn't have a lot of the developer tools that they had now.
No, we were messing around with alert boxes a lot, which was always good fun if you ended up in an endless loop.
Exactly. So, when I start thinking about what's going on right now, we have obviously multiple browsers that we have to support. We have multiple browser versions. And on top of that, there is different OSs, and developers are using different platforms right now to kind of test out their browsers. So one of the things that I commonly get asked about is, hey Ray, how do you test across multiple browsers, and especially multiple OSs. And so there's a couple solutions out there, for example, there's virtualized solutions that I tend to use quite often, and a lot of them are now in the browser, which makes it incredibly convenient. And then there's other things like VMs. So for example, one of the services I recommend highly is called BrowserStack.com. And the reason I love BrowserStack is because it's completely virtual, it's in the browser, and it makes life incredibly easy to test across multiple platforms and multiple browser versions, and there are a ton of them. I mean, there's like Browserling and Spoon and BrowserShots. I think BrowserShots, the only thing is that with BrowserShots, you're taking a snapshot at that moment, and you got to kind of wait in a queue, and then you're going to get a snapshot of what it looks like. So it's not really interactive, right?
No, and most of the browser differences are in interaction, like when the rollover menu doesn't show up and these kind of things. So it makes much more sense to have something that you can just go into the box and see how the browser really works on the operating system rather than just having a screenshot of that works. And just having a screenshot doesn't tell you much. Right. Because you want to have the interactivity. And it's great that all these tools are out there. A lot of them come actually from QA people. Yep. So what we learned in QA, we actually now put into services, and some people started things like BrowserStack and make money with it. And it's great that a debugging tool became a service. That's
exactly.
Wonderful, actually.
It's awesome. And then, of course, there are alternatives like virtual machines. And, for example, Microsoft does release what we call VPC images of Internet Explorer. They're basically virtual images of the Internet Explorer environment so that developers can test out multiple versions like IE 6 through 8, if I remember, on different actual OSs too, which is kind of neat. So the capability is there to do that. In addition, you can use things like VMware Fusion Parallels. And of course, if you want a free virtual machine manager, there's VirtualBox from Oracle Corporation, which has worked really good. Like, we just released Windows 8 release preview, and I was able to load it into VirtualBox, and it worked pretty well. So from a testing perspective, that's a great solution as well.
Yeah, the images are great because you don't have to go through the whole pain of installing Windows from scratch and then extra things from scratch and all the things. And the only thing is it's rather hungry to your machine. So if you don't have a high-spec laptop and you're on the go, it actually can grind it to a halt. And that's not really testing how your end users would see your site. That's actually unfair testing to Internet Explorer because it would always look slower on a Mac than the Mac native browser, so to say.
Exactly. On top of that, you're going to have to keep those virtual machines up to date. As new things happen, you got to make sure that you go in there and you either apply patches or whatever it is to keep those things up to date. So that's the other part of it.
They also expire, and they're not small to download. So if you're on an internet connection somewhere in a hotel, getting this like 1.2 gig image just to test in IE10 is probably not what you want to do.
Right, and I agree with you on that. So that's one of the reasons that, for example, I personally like to recommend BrowserStack. And the reason is that BrowserStack is just such an incredibly easy to use service. I mean, it's a paid service, but you know what? It's one of those things that, as a professional web developer, I'm okay with paying for that because it's a tremendous value to me. And so I look at it as totally virtual. Basically, you open up your web browser and say, I want to test my specific website in Internet Explorer, Chrome, Safari, and I want to determine which particular OS I want to test on. It's great because it launches a virtualized window and you actually see it. So and if you look at the browser coverage, it's pretty comprehensive. I mean, I think it covers every major browser that a developer would really want. So, for example, there's IE 6 through 10, Hopefully you're not targeting i6. All right, you're not targeting i6. I know you're not.
I'm targeting it, but not with code.
Okay. I'm not. I don't want to touch that. All right, but you have like support for Firefox 3.3. Now I'm scared. Support for Firefox 3.13, Safari 4.5.1, Chrome 14.20, and Opera 10.3.11.6, which is pretty comprehensive. And the great thing is that you're not going to get zonked in your terms of your hardware because it's all within the browser, and there's a minimal hardware requirement on that. So if we look at the screen, you can see what it offers. And this is pretty slick because you just put in your URL that you want to test, you select the specific target OS platform, and you select the browser. And from there, what it does is it actually launches a window, a panel within the browser, and we'll say connecting to server, and it actually shows you what that is. It's really cool. So in this case, what I did was I said, all right, I want to see what the pull-up site, being a new dad, you know, I have a baby, so of course I wanted to see what the pull-up site would look like. When I saw it in Safari 4.0 when I took the snapshot on Mac OS X. So considering that I use a Windows PC, but I can actually render this out as if it was on a Mac is pretty exciting to me because now I can test for nuances between the OSs as well, which is great. So let's take a look at that real quick. I'll open up the browser. Let me bring up Internet Explorer. And here's Browser Stack. Notice I already have the pull-up site in here. So I want to test it out in Mac OS X and Safari 4.0. Now, hopefully, keep my fingers crossed, the internet will work great. And so I bring that up, and notice what it does. It says starting new server, and it'll say loading up Flash, and it's going to connect to a specific server out there. Once it does this, it'll establish the actual session, and we should momentarily see a browser come up. And there we go. So in this case, this is Safari on Mac OS X. This is Safari 4.0 on Mac OS X. Notice I can go here and I can click, and it takes a little bit of time sometimes because there's obviously some latency, but notice what happens. Now I'm getting that interactivity. That's what we were just talking about, the fact that you can actually have that level of interactivity for specific things. Here's a drop down. I can go ahead and click on a specific menu option, like products, for example, and it actually switches pages for me. So as a web developer, when you know, I hear this question all the time. Ray, how do I test against, you know, all these different browser versions across the OS? Well, this is a great tool. All right, there's no reason why you can't use this, and it's reasonably priced, and it makes a lot of sense to me.
Yeah, and seeing that it's priced, it also means that it will be around. I mean, we get far too excited about free stuff on the internet. A lot of them actually sell as advertising, and I don't want to test thing on the browser with a big pop-up window every time. Exactly. That like, oh yeah, you really want to buy our other products too? Like, no, I just want to test that page. So
that's a good point, yeah.
It saves you from having to have different hardware as well, because some browsers, I'm not going to mention names, are hardwired with the operating system, and you actually cannot run them parallel with others. So We'll see that, and I think the testing here is a very, very good opportunity.
Absolutely.
But let's not forget, as a developer, you should not be the person testing your things. This is great for sanity testing, but you should have somebody else testing your code for you, because you don't use the website like end users do, but QA people really know how to do that, and they have the patience of a saint.
Absolutely.
So hug a QA person when you meet them, because they do a lot of good work for us, but this actually saves them a lot of time as well.
Yeah, I'd hug Matt Gradwell, our QA, you know, QA guy over there in Microsoft, but I'm scared that he might not like that, so, and he's a big guy, so.
Well, I mean, like, maybe just tell him to meet me and then we hug it out.
Oh, God, okay. So the other cool thing about Browser Stack is that, you know, you might be saying, well, that's great if you have a site on the internet, but how do I test locally? And that's one of the cool things that they've done. They've set up a tunneling functionality via Java applet, which will let you tunnel to your local box and actually render it out here on a virtualized system, which is pretty cool. You know, that's actually very neat. So I like that a lot. So the one thing I'm really happy about is just the evolution of browser tools. And, you know, Firebug was, you know, that's the grandfather of what I consider the grandfather of browser tools. It's been such a mainstay where developers have, you know, used that because it has such great ability to inspect the DOM, your HTML page layout, the way that the code was generated, and even inspect things like network traffic. And so you know, you look at the other browsers now, and they've all kind of evolved very well to support very similar functionality to Firebug. And if we, you know, we have obviously the new IE developer tools. Let me clarify one thing about this. This is not the IE debug toolbar that was around a while back. This is truly integrated developer tools inside the browser. This is very, analogous to Firebug or the Chrome developer tools or things like that. I mean, so I get that actually, I get that a lot. People assume that these developer tools in IE are still the debugger toolbar.
Front page express things back then, yeah.
So, you know, this is integrated into the browser, true browser developer tools, which give you tremendous functionality. So the tools have really evolved from that alert type of thing that we used to have to do, you know, just pop up an alert box and show a value, to where we have interactive tools within the browser where we can actually, you know, look at the HTML layout, the DOM, affect actual attributes on the fly, which we can see real time and see how it affects the page. And that's really interesting because as a designer or developer, if you want to see how, let's say, a particular style affects the page layout, that's interactive nowadays. Before, you would have to go ahead and apply it into a style sheet, let's say, for example, or maybe add some JavaScript and do a refresh, an F5 refresh, in order to see it. Now you can see things in real time, so it's pretty cool.
It also shows that browsers care much more about developers as a new market for us as well. It's like in the past was developers built things for end users and we cared mostly about the end user experience, but now we realize that with HTML5, the web became an application platform, so the tools to actually look at these applications should also be the ones where we debug in.
Absolutely.
We cut short the way between like installing extra debugging tools and just putting it in the browser. And everybody benefits. I mean, even end users who are not developers can benefit from a net tab that actually shows them what images are loading in the background, or right-click a video and save it that way.
Exactly. I mean, you know, and that's great. You know, I was about to mention the fact that you can actually analyze network traffic nowadays and in the browser. Before, you'd have to use, let's say, some kind of HTTP proxy tool between you and the browser and kind of inspect that. But now it's all built in, you know, and that's great. And it does legitimize our profession. It does legitimize and shows that the browser makers really do care about us. You're right. I mean, that's a great point. And I'm as a professional developer, I'm extremely excited by the fact that we now have professional tools within the browser to work with. So apart from that, there are add-ons that you can add to specific browsers, let's say like Firefox, for example, that give you extended functionality, like, for example, the Web Developer Toolbar, which lets you view generated source on the fly. So remember that when you do dynamic JavaScript, you're going to be adding DOM elements into your page. You're going to be affecting things. And you want to see what that's going to look like in once it's generated. And so Web Developer Toolbar gives you that, along with things like resizing the Chrome, screen layouts, things like that. So it's kind of neat. You know, these are just things that give you some extra functionality. YSO, for example, gives you performance analysis of your page load. It's based on some the rules defined by Yahoo for page loading and would improve their site tremendously. So these are just additional things that you can add to your browsers. Let me show you a quick demo of our browser tools. Now, obviously, I work in Internet Explorer quite often, so I want to show the F12 developer tools. So I'm going to go into IE, and let me bring up another one. I'll bring up the jQuery.com website, for example. jQuery.com. And, you know, jQuery is near and dear to my heart, so, you know, it kind of makes sense for me to go there, right?
Yeah, I'm amazed that there's only a short distance between like nappies for children and jQuery for you, but let's not go into that too deep.
Okay. So I'm on the jQuery website, and I want to stress that these tools are much more evolved than what a lot of developers think they are. These are true professional tools that are now integrated into Internet Explorer 10. They were in Internet Explorer 9 as well. And if I press F12, they come up. And the cool thing is now you're going to see a lot of the features that we were talking about, things like the ability to see your HTML layout. Check it out. I can go deep here. I can click on something. That will show me the styles that apply to that particular element. I can go ahead and change this information around if I want to. I can actually click on this arrow here and actually inspect any specific element on the page. So if I go here and I click the arrow and I say I want to inspect this, basically I can actually see the CSS properties, for example, of this particular element. And I can also go here and say, all right, you know, and I want to change it from 1.5 em to maybe, 50 pixels, for example, see what it would look like. And when I hit that, boom, you know, this is what I was talking about, immediate gratification, basically. You're able to immediately see what your change does to the page and actually, you know, get immediate feedback, basically. That's the best way to say it. So let me refresh the page so we can actually get back to the way it was. In addition, of course, you can actually see the actual CSS style sheets that are being loaded on the page, which is really neat because now you can actually dive in there and see what's actually being loaded for this particular page. So I can go here and say, all right, I want to see the styles and you can inspect it. And of course, you can double click on anything you want and change it. So again, professional level of tools. Now, one of the things that I do love is the console, because the console, not only does it tell you that there might be errors in your page, which you can then address, but in addition, it allows you to have the ability to enter interactive JavaScript code. So for example, I know in this one, we're using jQuery. It's a jQuery.com site. So I know I can do my traditional $factory method and go here and say, I want to pull back all my divs. All right, and once I hit enter, boom, I get all the divs that are on the page showed up here. Now, obviously, you know, hopefully I won't have to do that too often, you know, from a page traversal, a DOM traversal perspective, but at least I know that I can do that within the console, and I can kind of work with the values in some fashion. So again, you have full JavaScript functionality capability in here, and you can log things out to the console. You can actually add code into your source code, like console.log, and actually have a display in this console to see what the results are in real time. And that's kind of gets us away from that whole alert box type of development that we had before, where if we wanted to trace values, we had to do alert, whatever. Now we can just use console.log.
And it works across all the browsers. I mean, everybody has a console right now in different varying levels, and some of them have console warning, console, these kind of things. So you can put code in there for other developers or in debugging as well. So in other companies when I worked in, when there was a console log in my JavaScript, I knew this was not the live code.
Right.
So that's a good way to actually test what is your test code and what is your live code,
right,
because the build script that you do in the end should get rid of all these console logs, because you don't want to give out information that is only for developers out to end users. But it's much, much better than having alerts or having to create divs and set inner HTML and write your own logging tools, because this is a real debugging logging mechanism like you have in PHP or Java or other languages as well. Right. It also shows that JavaScript has evolved.
Exactly. It definitely has. And so, you know, and talking about JavaScript, the cool thing is that you know, along with obviously being able to inspect CSS, you also can inspect the JavaScript files that are getting loaded. So for example, in this case, I'm looking at the actual code that's part of the base page, but I can go here and say, all right, I want to look at this custom file here, custom.js, and I can actually look at the JavaScript. I can set breakpoints so as the page loads up, it'll actually stop there and I can inspect the code and see what's happening, along with setting like watch points so I can see how specific variables change their values in real time. You know, one of the nice things I like is the fact that I can go here, and let's say with jQuery, I'm seeing it says jQuery.min.js, and that tells me it's a minified file. And if you've worked with minified files, you know that they're kind of hard to read.
That's okay. The idea of them, yeah.
Yes. That's true. So, anyway, so they're kind of hard to read, but when you're debugging your code, sometimes you need to kind of figure out what's going on, you know. So the cool thing is that there's tools that, like, format JavaScript, which will take that and actually format it into something a little bit more readable, and that way you can kind of inspect the code and figure out what's happening without having to go through this whole gobbledygook of stuff.
Which is great, because it actually makes it readable for you, and it actually stops all the bickering that we have about the best syntax for JavaScript as
right.
well, because everybody can mess with your syntax in debugging tools anyways.
Exactly. So, you know, and in addition, you know, performance is one of the things that we're always conscious about. We want to make sure that the sites perform as fast as possible. And, you know, in JavaScript, we try our best to write methods and functions that, you know, that are really fast. Sometimes we're not going to do the best job. It just happens. That's the nature of the job. So one of the things that you can do is use, for example, like a profiler. And I could start this profiler, for example, and reload the page. And then once there, I stop it. And it tells me how fast my specific methods have executed. And then from there, I can actually act upon that. So if I see that I have a very long-running method, I know that I have to either, maybe it's an external call that I'm doing, or maybe my code is just in a long-running loop that I got to tweak a little bit, you know? So at least that gives me the tools to improve performance. And the other really cool thing that I love is the network tab, because here it's kind of like an HTTP traffic analyzer. And I can start capturing, for example, and refresh my page. And basically it'll show me all the assets that get loaded on that particular page and how long it took, and I can actually get some more detailed information. So for example, here, I can go to my timings and say, all right, on my first one, this is how long it took to start to actually initiate the request. And then here was how long it took to actually get the first byte back. You know, so that's really important information for actually improving your load times.
It's also a great opportunity to look at the HTTP headers that, for example, when a video is not playing and you're wondering why, it might be that it's sent with the wrong MIME type from the server.
Yep.
And that's something you had to do in the past with an HTTP sniffer, but now it's in the browser and totally fine as well.
Yeah, and in addition, you can see when you have blocking assets that are blocking the load itself, so you can figure out what do I need to have some kind of dynamic load, dynamic script loader or something like that. And you know, it just helps to improve performance overall. So the tools are really, really great. For one of the other questions I get asked a lot is, how do I test the multiple versions of IE? One of the things I want to also mention is that in the IE F12 developer tools, you can test out multiple versions of Internet Explorer, and they're very good in terms of the rendering. So for example, if I click here in browser mode, I can test out IE 7, 8, 9, and 10, so, which is great. You know, now I can for the most part, I can have one install of Windows and be able to test out, you know, four different browsers. So that's a pretty hot thing.
And seeing that there's massive differences between those, it's a very much necessary thing, and it's impossible to install them in parallel without jumping through hoops that actually change the browser as well.
Right.
So it was a very good thing that we now have that in IE to test, because in other browsers there's not much difference between the different engines, so it's not that necessary.
Right. So you know, the thing is, you know, it's just a great way of testing it without having to load a ton of VMs. That's one of the things that developers have mentioned, that you know, loading multiple VMs, it kind of taxes your performance. And so at least here, if you had one VM, at least you know that you can test out through IE 7 through IE 10, you know, which is great. So it's a neat little thing. So other useful tools that that I use quite often are things like the IE Compat Inspector, which allows me to determine if there are possible patterns that I need to adjust on a web page to make sure that it's going to render, let's say, in standards mode in IE 9 and IE 10. Also, the Fiddler Web Debugging Proxy, which is an HTTP sniffer. It's fantastic. It's an external app. It's outside of the browser, but it actually intercepts the HTTP traffic and lets me inspect it. It's really, really cool. And of course, you have Charles. Charles is a really popular one as well. It's Java-based, and I've used it. It's fantastic. My favorite is Fiddler, though. It just integrates really nicely. And in addition, it integrates nicely with the IE Compat Inspector, where I can actually just basically say, hey, Fiddler, when you go ahead and run, load IE Compat Inspector. And we'll talk about that in a little bit. Now, what I like about IE Compat Inspector is that it was created by the IE team. It's just a JavaScript file that what it does is it analyzes your page in real time and will identify certain patterns that might be problematic in terms of transitioning your site to a standards-based layout, basically. So, the cool thing is you literally take this JavaScript file and you drop it in, and it analyzes your page in real time. So it'll point out things, and we look at it, basically, you can see that it shows specific errors, and it allows you to verify those errors, because it actually will emulate some of those patterns that might cause a problem to see if it actually fixes it. If it does fix your page, then you know, well, that's the problem itself, and then you can actually debug it a little bit further. Now, on top of that, the reason I also love Fiddler is because I can actually take this IE Compat Inspector JavaScript file and drop it into what they call Fiddler Script. And Fiddler Script can actually call it out and inject it automatically for you into a specific website. That means basically I can debug any website. Now, of course, this is more centric to IE testing, and it works very closely with the IE developer tools. But the great thing is, if you want to make sure that your site's going to work really well in the latest versions of IE 9 and IE 10, this is a great way of doing that. And it's more of a migration tool to help you migrate your sites over to a standards-based layout. So it's really, really slick. So I think the takeaway for this is that there are lots of options for doing cross-browser testing and ensuring your site is going to work across the various browser versions and across OSs as well. So it's not just saying, hey, you know, we need to, we have no solutions for, let's say Linux or Mac or Windows. Something like BrowserStack lets you test across all those platforms, which is great. You know, I love that. All right, and in addition, in terms of browser tools, things have evolved tremendously. We have great tools now. The tools are there, and I'm sure they're going to get better, but we have awesome tools to test our sites out, you know, and every major modern browser has that now, which is great.
Yeah, and it's incredibly important with the HTTP traffic analysis and also with things like Fiddler or Charles to also simulate different environments. Like, it's as a developer, you're always close to the metal and you basically have a great fast connection, luckily enough, if you have it. But your end users out there have not. So I found that with Charles, for example, simulating a slow connection made me find so many mistakes in the page and so many things that are actually coming in as bug reports from end users, and you always have to like can't confirm because can't reproduce. But going down to a 56K connection with your page is a great test to find out how your JavaScript really performs and how many of the third-party scripts that you use actually hurt your end users. So it's a great opportunity to try your page out. A lot of bugs you will find by having a slower connection.
Yes.
And also means that as a developer you become better because you actually learn about writing UX interfaces that basically say like, oh, this takes a bit longer, we're still on it, rather than just letting people just wait and they don't know what's going on.
Gotcha, that's a great point. That's a great point. And that's why these tools are so important. They let you test out your environment, change it around in real time, and do things that you definitely don't take in consideration. But it goes back to your point of have somebody else QA your site. Somebody who's going to be that objective, unbiased person, because we are too close to the code sometimes. Sometimes we're just sitting there and we think, oh, that should work fine, and somebody's going to just get it because we get it. A QA person is going to definitely find that out. So
yeah, their job is to break our stuff, so we shouldn't be unhappy with them for that. And we're actually much likely to say, like, oh, no end user will ever do that. And yeah. Sadly enough, they do.
They do, definitely. So, you know, and again, if you're migrating your site from, let's say, a non-modern version of IE over to IE9 or IE10, use the Compat Inspector. It's a great tool. It's going to identify some of those patterns that I was talking about that might be a little bit of a blocker for getting your site over to the modern experience. And HTTP traffic analyzers are basically like, that's a must tool nowadays in your toolbox. You need to have one. And it'll give you a really deep analysis of what's being returned from a server so you can see, am I getting the right stuff? So I put in some useful links into this slide, and we're going to put up the slides later on, you know, so that way you can hit Browser Stack or Browser Link. You'll know how to download some of these IEVHDs. And in addition, there's information on the various browser tools, so that way you can do tutorials, get deeper information about the various browser tools, and actually just have the right, the right overall toolbox to build really awesome sites. So, again, we appreciate you watching our video. Thanks for tuning in.
We have the tools, we have the technology. Let's do this.
Woohoo!